second here? Then I'm seeing, is this on? Something left it on, all reach. What's that? Not the last one. Now, can you hear us okay? Because one of the mics are dead. Yeah, let's try this. Can you hear us okay? Okay, good. We're going to sing more about Jesus first, and then Mansion Over the Hilltop. All right.
More about Jesus, more I am, more of His grace to love His show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every mind, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness be, more of His love who died for me.
Right, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver mine. I got a mansion just over that hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk those streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where will never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander along the streets that are pure as gold. Think me poor, deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Okay, if you can kneel. We're going to pray before we start. So, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. We thank you for blessing us with the Sabbath day and the changing of the showbread again. We thank you for all the blessings that we've seen over the last year. And we just celebrated Thanksgiving 2 days ago. And thank you for letting it be a very special day. We had all the kids here, and then some. He blessed us with some friends, too, that were able to come. And it was really nice to see you move your hand like that and answer the prayers that we had a couple, 3 weeks ago about that, and making it a very nice and peaceful day. Father, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially our loved ones that are lost. We pray that they come to a saving knowledge before it's too late, and give them ample time to get ready so that they can be prepared and stand firm in that hour of temptation that you will keep them from and keep us from. Thank you for the way that you bless us with the technology to be able to share our faith around the world. Wherever you would have us be, we can do this. And thank you for blessing the church, the school, the family, the ministry, and the food pantry. And we pray that that blessing works out this week, too. We're going to find out Monday if we're able to get all that food. And so we pray that your hand is upon that as well, and that you send people far and wide, you know, to our homes so that we can share our faith when we give them the food they need. We thank you for all these things, and we pray, Father, that you bridle my tongue any time that may speak. And thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and healing us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, amen. Are we having any issues, people falling out? Because the radio is getting pretty heavy. Okay, the kitty wants to come in here. Come on. Up. There you go. Nice. Yeah, that's a noisy door. All righty. Well, there's not much I can do about that, Rick. But I can lower the bandwidth, but I don't think it'll help. So anyway, today's message is, of course, going to be on topic with what we just experienced Thursday with Thanksgiving. And thank you. I gotta actually lock that in onto the server here, so hold on. In case people fall out. All right. There's gotta be a way around this, doing this the hard way like this. But it's not that hard. Let's see, control there. Knock the bandwidth. should be. Okay. As you can see, we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and it says, why does it always happen every time I'm ready to share? My throat starts messing up. All right, Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very good advice, as we could see that Paul was giving to the Ephesians at that time, because it is a blessing to behold when we thank the Father for all that he has done. Sister White says in this Day with God on page 45, she says, it would please the Lord if you would make an effort to forget yourself. Begin to thank the Lord for your home and your pleasant surroundings and the many temporal blessings he gives you. By returning thanks to the Lord for his goodness, you can do something for the one who has done everything for you. Now, this is pretty cool because, this, you know, even a babe in Christ can do this because everybody, we can thank him for absolutely everything. We already know that. But the neat thing is here, you get to do something for him. She says that, contemplate the depths of the compassion that the Savior felt for you. For you, he gave his life, suffering the cruel death of the cross. Can you not praise the Lord for this? If you will hide your life in Christ, he will receive you. If you will show that you have a working faith by trying every day to exercise your willpower, your faculties will gain strength. I know this by experience, as do we all, of course. I remember, I remember my own case, how my faculties recovered their pliability as I tried to exercise them. Will you try to move about and be cheerful in spirit? Put your trust in Jesus. Have faith in him and be pliant in his hands. You will receive great blessing by making a change in your habits. For 11 months after going to Australia, I suffered from inflammatory rheumatism. I was unable to lift my feet from the floor without suffering great pain. During those 11 months of suffering, I would not give up. My right arm from the elbow down was whole, so that I could use the pen. And I wrote 2,500 pages of letter paper for publication. During this period, I had the most terrible suffering of my life. But to all this, now this is physical suffering she's going through. So it's not just, you know, trials and tribulations that you go through. Sometimes it's a physical trial you're going to have to go through that she's experiencing here. All right? And no one's immune to this. No one's going to, you know, this is a prophet dealing with this, okay? So going on, she says, but to all this, there is a cheerful side. My Savior seemed to be close beside me. I felt his sacred presence in my heart, and I was so thankful. These months of suffering were the happiest months of my life because of the compassion of my Savior. His love filled my heart. All through my sickness, his love, his tender compassion, was my comfort. Look unto Jesus, your pitying, loving Savior. If you cast your helpless soul on Christ, he will bring joy and peace to your soul. He'll be your crown of rejoicing, your exceeding great reward. And she wrote this, it was letter 34 as well, on February 6, 1907, she wrote it to the wife of a conference administrator in Australia. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even if you are in pain, out of work, lonely, sick, rich, poor, married, working, whatever, all of that we live is for his glory and to learn his truth. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. If we live with an attitude of thanksgiving, we will eventually have a walk that can actually be called thanks living. Now, some of you may have noticed that when most of us pray, we always thank the Father for all the blessings, and yes, even our trials. I learned long ago that thanking him for all that we have or have not is a true blessing because he is a true father who knows exactly what's best for his children. And some thoughts may that come to mind that, like this would be, you know, why was I born at this particular time in the history of the world? You know, myself or you or anybody, we could all have been born 1,000 years ago. For those children of God that have like physical defects or disease, think about this. If you have a heart defect and you were born only 100 years ago, and if you didn't have the faith, you would have died much sooner than later. But being born today, even without the faith, the technology the Lord granted the doctors to use has allowed you to be alive right now. Still, some cannot thank God for such trials. They focus on the negative rather than the Lord's hand, the positive end of it all. Even if nothing ill happened at birth, let's say, why were most of us born in a spotless delivery room in American hospitals instead of some steaming, dark shelter in some dark jungle in the Amazon or a mud hut in the middle of some Middle Eastern nation where we would literally starve to death before reaching the ripe old age of 2? Why do most of us have the privilege of modern schooling with, even though with all their ridiculous fallacies and myths that they try to teach the kids, there's still some pretty excellent tools out there. I mean, look at the internet, for example, and the thousands of years of historic facts that we also have in scripture, as well as those thousands of years of prophetic facts that we can now draw on when searching for the truth about what's actually happening today. We are a generation like none other. We see thousands of years of prophecies that have happened. This is why the devil keeps the people out of Bibles, because today when you read scriptures and you understand them, the faith of the church today is so much more blessed than it was back in the day, maybe only 1,000 years ago, or even a few hundred years ago, because a lot of the prophetic events were still in the future. But here we've got stuff that we've seen happen in our own lifetime. And it edifies the child of God. It makes them realize deep in their hearts, yes, I think I am worshiping the correct God, the only true and living God. Because there is no other God out there that can prophesy for or even create, of course. They all have to be created by men. Millions around the world live life without a single school book, or only once a year they're blessed to sit or squat on a dirt floor listening to some Christian missionary. So thank him for what you do have, even if it's homeschooling, because I, to be honest with you, that's the best way to go, hands down, homeschooling. How does it happen that my children are all sleeping in warm beds at night with clean white sheets, while millions of babies in the world will lie in cold, dark rooms, many in their own filth and vomit? In fact, it's just been discovered that a new abortion technique allows in this nation for a child to die outside the womb in a tin bucket in a dark room of hospitals if, in fact, somehow the abortion goes wrong and the baby is born alive. They just throw him in a bucket and stick him in some room and let the kid die. And it's happening in American hospitals, legally. I just got an article the other day about it. So why do we sit down in a warm meal whenever we want to and have the ability, if we so choose, to actually even eat too much, when millions will know all of their lives the gnawing pangs of hunger from eating far too little? From the time they're born till the time they die, that's all they know is hunger. Do I deserve to share in such wealth? Why me and not other, the other millions? Why was I born in a land I didn't build, in a prosperity I didn't create, and enjoy a freedom that I didn't establish? We sit comfortably in our own living rooms while there are Indians laying in dark corners of some of the most infested alleys in Calcutta, shivering in the cold or in a Cambodian rubble, or a terrified child running naked in the jungle from some genocidal killers. Or yet, your neighbor could be Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, think about that. If you saw the way Iraq or Afghanistan looked before the Vatican used Bush to bomb it, it looks like an everyday run-of-the-mill neighborhood, except for, of course, they got all these weird Muslim temples all over the place. But when you look down the road, they got suburbs just like, I mean, it's just neighborhoods, just like here in America. Could you imagine that happening in your town? We have everything we need because we have a God that loves us and we sought him out to protect us. Those that starve, shiver, or scream also have a God that loves them, but more often than not, they have far too little because they deny him. So he allows them to see what it is to what it's like to be without his hand for a time. Because he has given us free will. If we don't want him in our lives, he will step back. He gives us free will. He created us with free will. We're not robots. The Lord uses this method to teach some to not only acknowledge him as God, but to be thankful. He also blesses the rich who are far too rich in the same way. Will they be thankful and bless the poor that our Lord Jesus said that we're going to have with us always? You know, some of the things, I'm not going to mention any names, but there was this one preacher, this pastor, they got him on YouTube. People are constantly exposing this guy. He's a fake healer. The guy makes over $1 billion a year, and this pregnant woman, homeless, with a child in her arms, walks up to him one day as he was getting out of his stretch limo after just getting off his own private Learjet or whatever it was, and he handed her a $20 bill. But yet, when he left 3 days later, he handed out over $4,000 in tips to the waiters and waitresses and stuff like that. Over $4,000 in tips. Now, was that woman an angel, or was she carrying a little angel? You know, was that someone, you know, because, you know, some of us are going to be entertaining angels unaware. Those poor at the gate in Jerusalem were always there for a reason. Will the blessed share what they have? They are being tested, just like the poor are being tested. Will they blame God for their lack? They're being tested in the same way. Or will they hate the rich because they're not giving them anything? Everybody has their own test. It's just different methods. I can remember when I used to work in the secular field, and I never appreciated my job until I actually lost it. I hated the work. I hated getting up. I hated the 9-to-5, but man, when I lost it, it was like, I want it back. I never appreciated my car until it broke down and I had to hoof it. I never appreciated my home until I was evicted. And I never appreciated my health until I got sick. And I noticed people out there that never appreciated their hearing until they went deaf, or appreciated their sight until they went blind, or appreciated the ability to walk across a room until they got so sick they couldn't even get out of bed. You want to see how selfish some of us may be tempted to get at times? Think about losing the modern conveniences for only an hour or two. I can recall how I get when this happens. I mean, I never appreciated my electricity until I had to do without it for a day or two when we had an ice storm out here. I remember before we moved in away from the city and we came out in the middle of nowhere, the week we came in and found a place to live out here was only a week past the time that they had 3 weeks, or was it? Oh, that was July. It was the same year they told me. Yeah, I found out later. It was the same year that when we came that they had an ice storm that for 3 weeks people were without power. That's how bad, you know. And if you don't have a wood burner, you're going to come home to a house that's going to have all sorts of busted pipes and, you know, whatever. If you didn't get the water flowing. And if the electricity's off, the water's not going to flow because everybody uses pumps to get the water. So you have to just drain the pipes. I never appreciated my dishwasher until the electricity was off and I actually had to wash a dish. Or the washing machine until, you know, I had to go out and, you know, wash my clothes by hand. I've done that a few times, but not as often as I should. My dryer. I never appreciated it until I saw loved ones having to hang stuff on a clothesline. Sure, it saves money, but, you know, it is the better way to go because it smells better. But in today's world, you never know what's out there in the air, although it's a lot safer where we're at. You know, never appreciated the garbage disposal until I actually had to carry the discarded food to the trash bin. And forget this. The battery's dying in your remote control, and now you have to literally get off the couch and change the channels? Forget about that. Oh, that's just so much of a trial. So it can get like that for some. There's so much that, even the little things. even the little things that he's blessed us with. In Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 to 5, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Now that was a clincher for me too, because I always think I was all that in a bag of chips before I was a Christian. And I started to realize that, you know, God didn't, I mean, I didn't make me. You know, that's like a lot of people that have problems with conceit. They think that they had something to do with it. And it's like, no, it's just another test for you. So going on, it says, "And not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." A disposition of continual thankfulness, even if it's only the seasoning on your food, comes from an unshakable confidence in God's wisdom, power, and goodness, no matter what our circumstances may be. Consider briefly the significance of worship with thanksgiving and praise. I mean, it actually encourages others in their spiritual development. It shows the world where our priorities are. It is just one of many means of expressing our love for God, and we get to do it once a week in a, you know, in a structured manner with fellow believers. Some people don't have a church. Like, well, everybody here doesn't. We're all gathering together on the internet because we don't have anybody in our area that worships like we do. But we can still do it because the Lord has blessed us with this technology. And we get to show how much we love him each and every week in a formal way. I know all of us do it on a daily basis. But this worship and thanksgiving is also an avenue God has provided by which we can openly praise his name. It's also the offering of spiritual sacrifices and giving up of things just to make him smile that gets some of us out of bed in the morning. It's a way of showing our thanksgiving to God for all he has done for us. It is a period of communion with God with the world shut out entirely. I mean, we don't even work on this day. We won't buy and sell on this day. We won't even turn on the TV on this day unless it has a program that literally glorifies the Lord or, you know what I mean. You know, some of us never have the opportunity to see the other side of the fence. All too often, it's the wisdom of a child that opens the eyes of an adult to the simple love that God has for all, you know, for us and for everybody around us. With that said, I'd like to share with you a short story I learned of a few years ago about a little rich kid. Now, only my immediate family will remember this because I shared it many years ago on the exact same date. It was November 29th. Because it was out of an old sermon. It's a little story that it just touched my heart when I heard it. And it was on the exact same date, only I think it was 2003. So it was like 5 years ago. It was before we had the online church. And this is more or less how it goes. One day there was this father of a very wealthy family who took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing him how poor people live. He wanted to show his son the value of what he has because they were very, very rich. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On their return from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad," said the boy. "Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh, yeah," said the little kid. "So what did you learn from the trip?" asked his dad. And the little kid said, "I saw that we have one dog. They had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have all those stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the entire horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they actually serve others. We buy our food, and they grow theirs. We have walls all around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them. With this, the boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad. Thanks for showing me just how poor we really are." You know, too many times we forget what we have and concentrate on what we don't have. One person's worthless object is another's prized possession. It's a fact. One man's trash is another man's treasure. We've all heard it. It's all based on one's perspective. Makes you wonder, what would happen if we all gave thanks for all the bounty we have instead of worrying about wanting more? Take joy and appreciate every single thing that you got, especially your friends. Even though most of us have friends that are a world away, we still love them as dear as if they lived right next door. So what can we be thankful for? How about the taxes you pay? It's kind of hard to believe, but you can be thankful for taxes because it means you're employed. The clothes that fit a little bit too snug because it means you've had enough to eat. Some of us are thankful for our shadow that watches us as we work because it means we're out in the fresh sunshine and the fresh air. We can thank the Lord for a lawn that needs mowing or windows that need cleaning and gutters that need cleaning as well because it means we actually have a home. Or the parking spot I find way at the end of the parking lot because it means I can actually walk and let somebody else park up closer that's having trouble walking. Our huge heating bills. I can thank the Lord for that because it means we're warm. And He's blessed us with the money to pay those bills. All the complaining I hear about our government, it means, you know, because there's a lot to complain about, but it still means we have freedom of speech. For now. Even the lady behind me in church who sings off key. You know, if we had a few more people here. It's because my ears work. I thank Him for that. The fact that I'm at church, because in some countries, Christianity is illegal. You know, look what they're doing in China, in India now. If you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, this is hard to believe, but you are actually richer than 75% of the world's population. There are still nations out there that have millions and millions and millions of people that are just living in squalor. If you have money in the bank, money in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the 8% of the world's wealthy. I'm also thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means some of my loved ones are still nearby. Even though that washing machine never seems to shut off, I praise the Lord for it because it means the kids, we still have some here. Most of them have moved out, but I also praise the Lord sometimes for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I had a very productive day. Maturity in Christ realizes everything good is from our Lord. Some people are appreciative by nature, but some are not. And it is these people who especially need God's power to express this thanksgiving. We should remember that every good gift comes from God and that He is the source, support, and the end of all things. He is literally the meaning of life. Now, I know most of you already understand all of this, but we have young people. I know some of us have young people listening. It's for them I like to share. And some of us need to hear this repeated sometimes. The very breath is a gift, a free gift of God. Thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness. The selfish person says, I deserve what comes to me. Other people ought to make me happy. But the mature Christian realizes that life is a gift from God and that the blessings of life come from His bountiful hand. So little place for thanksgiving is seen today. It is probable that in some of us, the spiritual life is stunted because we give so little place to gratitude. Sometimes the blessings may come just so the Lord can see if you have the desire to thank Him for that. In that case, it is more important to thank the Lord for the blessings received than to pray for them beforehand because an unthankful heart may never be blessed. For some, that forward-looking prayer, though, you know, right as an expression of dependence upon God, is still self-centered in part, at least of its interest, because there is something we hope to gain by the prayer. It's kind of like the fair-weather friends we have all seen in life. You know, they're around when everything's going great. As soon as you lose your job or you got a little bit of difficulty in life, boy, it's like, you go out and there's an echo chamber. You can't find a friend anywhere. Many of us only seek our Father when the weather is rough. But the backward-looking act of thanksgiving is quite free from all this. In itself, it is quite selfless. Thus, it is an expression of our love for Him. All our love to God is in response to His love for us. The fact of the matter is, it never started on our side anyway. We had to learn of His love first before we could love Him, because it says in 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. I recall another little quick little, I guess you could say it's a story, it's not that big, it reminds me of an old miser that said, I don't have to thank anyone for anything I have. Everything I have, I got the hard way, by the sweat of my own brow. But I got to ask the guy, who gave you the sweat and the ability to work hard enough to actually work up a sweat? It's like I've always said, I like to thank God for even the paint when it dries on the wall, because that's how far, I mean, it goes even farther than that, of course, I understand, but I like to go for, you know, just that is more or less a base, because a lot of people say, you know, it says, wow, that's just pretty basic, you know. Sure, it's great to thank Him for the paint and the ability to actually roll it on the walls, but no, I go a little further. I want to thank Him for the fact that paint's going to dry. Because He set all these things in motion. Yes, everything that we are or that we possess is because of our God's loving kindness towards His creation, His children. If you look out in the fields, you can see that same love displayed on the lilies of the field, but Jesus plainly told us our Father loves us far more than those flowers. And even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of them. Therefore, it is good for us all to pause and say, thank you, Father. If we fail to be thankful, the Lord may remove blessings so we can learn to be thankful. As the saying goes, you never know what you got till it's gone. Think of a time in your life when a single letter or a gift was very precious to you because you were far from home or far from friends. Can you remember a happier, less well-off time in your life when a single morsel of food seemed like an entire smorgasbord? My wife and I saw that many a time when we were first married. In fact, we would literally go days without eating so the kids could eat. An ancient prophet asked the question in Zechariah 4, verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? If the answer is you, then you must learn to thank Him more often. Like even thank Him for the salt and pepper. Now, I'm not very sure that you should actually be using pepper, but you know what I mean. Maybe red pepper. There you go. That cayenne is okay. I don't know about the regular pepper. I don't know. Is pepper bad? I heard somewhere it was bad. I'm not sure. And if it's overused or something. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in every good thing, or in everything, give thanks. Everything, not just good things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is there someone in the course of your life you've forgotten to thank? 20 centuries ago, Jesus, the Son of God, was walking through the human experience. One day, close to Jerusalem, He ran across 10 lepers. It's amazing to see what transpired on that day. It still happens to this day, stuff like this. It's in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 to 16, it says, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests, or just go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Do you want to get close to Christ even more so as the days approaching prove is necessary? Take this week and survey your life. Ask the Father to bring instances to your mind when you completely forgot to thank someone, or even Him, for a blessing received. Even the only tiny little dinky little things, like even the salt and pepper. Maybe it's a small favor, or a small thing like, you know, Zechariah said, or perhaps you were just one of a group to which the gift was given. Make an effort to thank at least one person you failed to thank earlier, especially your Heavenly Father. But when you thank those people, they're going to be surprised, delighted, and thankful as well. Because giving thanks spreads, just kind of like love spreads. Why not be the one in 10 who's always grateful? We must also remember to give thanks no matter how bad it seems. Trials and tribulations are a blessing, big time. We know that now in a major way, because we know what's going to be coming in the near future. We have to go through some of these really rough times, and we got to thank Him for that. Like Peter singing in prison. Thank Him. Most of us, if we have studied the Word, we know the season we live in. We know how close it is. We know major trials are coming, and that without these experiences and these trials that we've gone through and are going through at present, if we didn't get these experiences that we learned in these trials, it would be just impossible to overcome what's coming. It would be literally impossible. But we're called to be overcomers in Christ, and this is why He allows us to go through these things, to get us ready. It's just like working out in the gym. You're getting all these muscles and stuff like that, so, you know, you can do strong things. The Lord trains us in the same way. All that truth. Remember what I said earlier about, you know, going to sleep at night and getting up in the morning? And it's you can also see the truth involved in that when you when the dead in Christ shall rise. Well, it's no different from exercise, physical or spiritual exercise. This is why we go through what we do. Yeah, it's going to be rough, and it's going to get rougher, and it brings tears and sometimes. And more importantly, it gets us on our knees and closer to our Father. When the time of Jacob's trouble swells around our homes, we will be able to thank our Father like never before. This will be the ultimate in thanksgivings for the remnant church. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Beloved, think not it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also in exceeding joy. If ye be approached, or rather be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." It doesn't say get all somber and start kicking pebbles. I mean, it says, "Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." So think about this too. This will help. It helps me all the time. When we get these major trials and tribulations and these attacks and whatnot, it means we are doing a good job. Now, this is, of course, if you are walking with Christ and reading, you know, and getting as close to Him as you possibly can, and the trials come. Because the wicked get the trials too. We all know that the rain falls as well on the wicked as well as the just. So, but the, you know, for those of us are, you know, the like-minded brethren, you know, among us right now, when you get the trials, you know there's a reason. You know, more often than not, it's because He knows you're worthy of it. And He wants you to do something for Him. And He's just getting you ready. You know, it's just like taking an exam at school. That stuff wasn't easy. I hated that exactly, you know, to be honest with you. I hated exams. So we're going to rejoice, and we will have exceeding joy when He splits that eastern sky, just as He promised. We will thank Him then for eternity, because then we will know firsthand that all that we went through was so that we could be with Him where He is and never again experience the pains of living in the sinful world. Thank you, Father, for absolutely all that you do. I'm not sure, but I think the following was shared by Sister White while she was on her deathbed. I don't know if anybody knows, but I'd like to share it. It's the last one in here. It's from the Atlantic Union Gleaner, March 17th, 1915, paragraph 4. It reminds me of Paul's last words to the church before he knew he was about to die. When he was speaking about how he fought the good fight and, you know, he had assurance. He knew everything was okay. Speaking of death, she said, I feel the sooner the better. All the time that is how I feel. The sooner the better. I have not a discouraging thought. Oh, okay, so this is like 3 months, 4 months before she died. She says, I have not a discouraging thought nor sadness. I have hoped I should be able once more to speak to the people, but that is the Lord's business, not mine. I have light and faith and hope and courage and joy in the Lord, and that is enough. Think about this. She's speaking this on her deathbed, right? The Lord understands what I can endure, and he has given me grace to bear up under the discouragements that I have sometimes had to bear. And I feel thankful for this. I have nothing of which to complain. I thank the Lord for all his goodness, all his mercy, all his love. Yeah, it is hard to ponder. Amen to that, brother. Sometimes it's difficult to understand, but until you actually walk that mile, step in her shoes or anybody's shoes that have gone through such a thing. I praise the Lord for the experiences that we as a family have seen over the last 2 years. Because the thought's always in the back of the mind. What would I do if it got that intense? Would I turn my back on God and blame him? Or would I cry out to him? And I praise his mighty name that he is that real in our lives to the point where we cried out to him. And he answered our prayers and we saw 4 bona fide miracles in the healing of our son. So no matter what, he is our Father and he is worthy of our love and our worship. Thank you, Father. We love you too.
All right. When we all get to heaven, amen. That's what we're singing now. Okay, let me see if I can get the song in the room here. Is it, what is it, 467? There it is. There we go. When we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to get heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing. Listerine.
If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. Thank you for guiding us each and every day of our lives. Thank you for letting us see your hand move and showing us how to look for it and to watch for it. Thank you for making it so absolutely clear that every aspect of life, each breath we take, is thanks to you. We thank you, Father, for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from unrighteousness, with the desire to please you and to make you smile. We pray for hearts that go out to you as King David's heart did. We pray for the discernment that man had, and we pray for the spirit of Elijah to go forth in that spirit, as you said we will in these days. We pray for the latter rain, faith that moves mountains, and the character of your son. So that if even we share a smile with someone, it just blesses them and waters the seeds that we or someone else planted when your spirit speaks through us. Thank you for giving us our assurance that all things that you have said unto us will be brought to our remembrance whenever we need them. Thank you for blessing us the remainder of this Sabbath day, keeping us safe all throughout this week as we go ahead and work and do whatever it is you would have us do. Give us an opportunity each and every day to share our faith with someone, even if it's just passing a track or giving them a DVD. Thank you for that opportunity and that chance to do that. Thank you for keeping us healthy, blessing us with answered prayers, blessing all those on the prayer list, and blessing the ministry, the church, the school, the family, the food pantry, and all those that help us do this work. Thank you especially for for blessing them, Father, because we never asked them for help. You did. And they answered. And so even you say thank you to them, as we do. In Jesus' name, amen.